You have a sense of the awe and the wonder of Jesus being born into our world, as well as why he came. And we thank you that when we think of Christmas Day, Lord, it's just an amazing day when we think of someone so amazing, so special coming into our world. And we just ask now as we look at Luke's account that you would bless our time together and help us to appreciate even more what you've done for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said at the start, how good it is that it's Christmas after the year that we've had. What do you reckon? It's so good that we're not going to be talking about COVID, but we're talking about Christ's birth. We're not talking about a vaccine to overcome COVID. We're talking about Jesus who came to save us from our sins. And we're not talking about border restrictions. We're talking about how Jesus came to open heaven's doors to us. What a contrast. Yeah. COVID came into our world and messed it up. Jesus came into our world and blessed the world unbelievably. What a contrast. I love the, what's happened this year and when we think about Christmas. And you know, the Christmas story has a lot in it. We've got shepherds. We've got angels. We've got wise men. We've got a bright shining star. But all those things, I hope you understand, all good. But they're all the secondary part of the story. The most important part of the story is Jesus. And where Jesus came from. Came from heaven. Came from God. Came into our world. And this morning, as we look at Luke chapter 2, I want us to, especially this year, focus upon God's gift, God's grace, and God's goodness to us in giving us Jesus. Praise his name. If you can just, this morning, just take it in. What God has done for you and I. So we'll be looking at Luke chapter 2. And I hope after our service, you'll continue singing the carols. You know, you'll be fired up about what God has done for us in Christ. You'll be singing, "Oh come, let us adore him." And glory be to God. Glory be to God. All right, we'll see how we go. So much in this day. But here we go. We're going to be looking at this really important account. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm just going to pick up on verses 6 and 7 to start with. Luke chapter 2, 6 and 7. And it came about that while they were in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now just those words alone, if we only looked at those words, you would think that Jesus was just another baby coming into our world. That he came into our world, into a place called Bethlehem, but Bethlehem was a little bit different. It was full of people, and so poor Mary had to give birth to her son in a stable and had to place him in a manger. And the kids club kids often say, "What's a manger?" Because you hardly use that word these days. They say animal feeding trough. Whoa, really? Yep, that's what he was placed in, because there was no room in Bethlehem. But this baby was no ordinary baby. Even though born without a halo, no halo, even though born so plainly, we know that this Jesus is none other than God's eternal Son. That's who was coming into our world. And it might seem unbelievable, but it reminds me of what the angel Gabriel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. God the eternal Son was coming into our world. And I love how God prepared us for this, because way in, back in the Old Testament, God told us this one who was coming was awesome. For example, 700 years before Jesus was born, in a book called Micah, in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, we read these words. "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from long ago, from days of eternity." What do you think of that verse? That is saying something pretty amazing about Jesus. He's the eternal one. That's who came into our world. And then in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, also written 700 years before Jesus came, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Wow! So God prepared the people so when Jesus came into our world that this one was no ordinary one. He is indeed God's eternal Son, God Himself, the one who came into our world. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it just wonderful to take that in? And of course the New Testament really highlights this as well. And in John chapter 1, we have the opening of John's Gospel with these words. In the beginning was the Word, that's the name for Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow, He was with God in the beginning. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. That means Jesus is our Creator with the Father. And then verse 14 says, and the Word became, like it's just unbelievable, the Word became flesh. He became like one of us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John's version of Christmas. Yeah, he just wanted to talk about it from heaven's perspective. That's Jesus. So isn't it incredible? When I think of Jesus, and I love to picture these things, I see this little baby in a manger, and I can't, it's just amazing to see this one in such a vulnerable and tender state. That's the eternal Son of God coming into our world. We've got a little baby at the back there, Ezra. Like little, you have a look at these little babies, you know, you look at them and they go, wow, they're so vulnerable and helpless. That's how Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal one, the Creator, chose to come into our world. Wow! Isn't that a wow? It's amazing. He came. But what I want us to realize is when we realize who Jesus truly is, there's something really special about this. Did you pick it up in that reading in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6? It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And what we need to realize is when we look at Jesus, this baby Jesus, yes, He's the Son of God, but we are to understand not only is He God's Son, He is God's gift. I love that truth. Jesus is God's gift to you and I. He's been given for us. To you personally and to me. Isn't that incredible? This is something to just take in. And as we know, we give gifts to people we love. And Christmas time is a wonderful time when we give gifts to each other, to people we love. And it's the same with God's gift. God gave us His gift, the gift of His Son, because He loves us. And it's so captured in that great verse, John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Hear it in that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Praise the God. What a gift. What extraordinary love. What a gift to give us. For all of us have not lived lives pleasing to God. According to the Santa story, none of us have been good enough to receive a gift from heaven. Honestly, we haven't. And yet God gave us Jesus. The Bible's pretty blank and blunt about us. It says in Romans chapter 3, 10 to 12, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is no one who does good. There is not even one. That's how God sees the world. So what extraordinary love that God should give this great gift. What a gift. He gave the greatest gift He could give. His Son. What a gift. Given in the greatest love we could ever comprehend. God's love is higher than the highest heavens above the earth. He gave this gift for us. Behold in Jesus, God's gift, His Son, given to you in love. And I love how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Do you love that verse? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. But friends, I want you to personally take this on board. As I was reflecting upon this over the past few weeks, it's important that you understand this personally. God has given you his Son. This is his gift to you. It's not just to the world, but for you. And it's a wonderful picture. It's a wonderful, powerful message of how much he loves you. Okay, let's keep reading in the account in Luke. I'm going to read now verses 8 to 11. Luke 2, 8 to 11. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord." Familiar words. What wonderful words. First of all, I can't help but think of the shepherds. Alright, shepherds out there in the fields at night around Bethlehem. There's no electricity back then. It would have been just one of those dark nights. Can you imagine being those shepherds? There you are, when all of a sudden an angel from heaven has come down and the whole hillside is lit up. It says that they were terribly frightened. How would you feel? I reckon I'd be joining them. Terribly frightened. I wonder what the sheep were doing. You know, I wonder if they were, I reckon they would have been freaked out as well. But anyway, the very first words were from the angel, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And I want you to specifically pay attention to these words by the angel. He says, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you." God's great gift, the gift of his Son, was for this purpose, that Jesus would be our Saviour. Wow, isn't that a wonderful thing to think of? He's our Saviour. That's why Jesus came. And when I think about this, I can't help but think of another G word, not only God's gift, but God's grace. God's grace in giving us Jesus. God's grace in sending us a Saviour. Wow. Jesus didn't come into the world to judge us, but to save us. He didn't come into our world to condemn us, but to rescue us. What grace. What do you reckon? It's amazing grace. And if you know anything about the Bible, this a plan of God to be gracious to us humans who have fallen was made by God even before he made the world. God knew what would happen. And then, on that blackest day, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they turned their back on God. Even on that blackest day, God promised to send a Saviour. Wow! Even on that day. And then right through the Old Testament period, God continued to say about that promise, the Saviour's coming, the Saviour's coming. And even though humans went further and further away from God and became more undeserving of a Saviour, God still sent his Son at the right time. What an amazing God. I would have given up long ago. I think I've shared before, like if I was God in the days of Noah, I would have just flipped that ark, had enough of the world. But no, God is so persevering, so patient, so faithful. And he, at the right time, sent the Saviour into our world. And what amazing grace that God should do that. What extraordinary grace. And of course, when we talk about Jesus coming into our world to be our Saviour, I want to just highlight why it is so special and why it should fill us with joy. Jesus came into our world to save us from my sin and your sin. Sin that would cause us to be judged and to be condemned on that last day. That would cause us to be eternally separated from God. Jesus came into our world also to save us from being in Satan's camp and coming into God's kingdom. This is why Jesus came. And that should fill us with joy if we have any understanding of where we are at with God and how we need someone like Jesus to save us. Only he can. What a Saviour. What a salvation. What grace. And Jesus saved us not just by being born. Being born in our world didn't save us. He was born to die. He was born and took on our form that he could represent us. He was born in our form so that he could actually die for us and bear our sin. Without taking on human form, he couldn't die. He couldn't bear our sin. But he chose to humble himself, to empty himself, and to come to earth and take on our form that he might die for us and bear our sin. Praise his name. He was born to die. The cradle made way for the cross. And the prophet Isaiah, who spoke so much about Jesus' birth, also spoke about Jesus' death. And in Isaiah chapter 53, 5 and 6, we read, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus was born to die upon a cross, to heal us and save us. Praise his name. When we look at baby Jesus in the manger, I hope you can see God's grace. God's grace in sending the Saviour into the world for you and I. Let's now read Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14. It goes on to say in Luke 2, 13 and 14, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased.'" Again, can you imagine being a shepherd and hearing this angelic choir? Not just one angel now, but heaps of angels have come from heaven and they are singing praises to God. I reckon that would have been the best performance and light show ever. And look who God gave it to lowly shepherds. God is amazing, God. He didn't light up Jerusalem, but the hills of Bethlehem, and only these lowly shepherds got to see this. What do you reckon of that? It's amazing, isn't it? But it's also for us, because these words were recorded, and we can read about it and picture it. These angels coming and praising God. And the first thing I want to say to you is I love how they say, "Glory to God in the highest." And when I think about those words, I can't help but think, wow, Jesus wasn't a gift given for angels, but for us. Jesus didn't come into the world to save angels, but us. And they're praising God. They're praising God on our behalf. Glory to God in the highest. On behalf of humans, they are praising God for the great gift, the gracious gift of the Son. But there's something really special in what the angels said and sang. And it is this. I wonder if you picked up on what they said. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." Jesus had come into the world to grant peace. But we don't see peace, do we? That's because we need to look at those words carefully. He came to bring peace towards those whom God is pleased with. That's the key. Who is God pleased with? Well, there's a great verse on this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So who's the one who pleases God? Not the person who does all these good works that will never please God because you can never be good enough. Not the person who is religious because no amount of religion can ever please God. But it's the one who has faith in God and specifically faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. To those who put their faith in God and in his Son Jesus, the great declaration from the angels is, "Peace be to you. Peace be to you." And that's how it is. Peace comes to us if we truly have faith in Jesus. And what a peace it is. There's two great verses I want to read to you about peace. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1 it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." What a verse. We have peace with God, even us sinners. We have peace with God if we put our faith in Jesus. We have a right relationship with Him because Jesus came and washed us clean of our sins. Wow. Peace with God. That's the best thing. And then the other thing is, the other verse is Philippians chapter 4 verse 7. Oh, this is a great verse. This is not talking about peace with God now, but the peace we can have in our life when we go through all the mess of life. And Philippians 4 verse 7 says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's the peace that Jesus came to bring into our world if we would believe in Him. Peace with God and a wonderful peace in us. What blessings! Jesus came to bless us. And I want you to think about this next word. We've looked at God's gift, God's grace. Look at God's goodness to us if we would believe in Jesus. What a peace. It's not just peace though. We also have joy, don't we? If you love Jesus and you know Him, we have joy. And the angel said that. "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy." It's great joy for all the people who trust in Jesus. And there's another great verse about joy in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. And it says, "And though you have not seen Christ, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. And you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Through faith in Christ, we can have this joy that is just inexpressible and full of glory through faith in Jesus. So, Jesus came to give us joy too, if we would believe in Him. And there's another one. Another one that I want to bring up, and that is hope. Jesus came into our world to give us hope. What a beautiful hope we have in Christ. I can't help but think of those great words in John chapter 14. And Jesus says there in verse 1 onwards, He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God." Here's the key. "Believe also in Me." Then He goes on to say, "In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What a hope! A sure hope. Look at those three great words. Peace, joy, and hope. That's what the world so desperately needs. Peace, joy, and hope. Whether it's a COVID year or not, peace, joy, and hope. This is the goodness of God that flows to us if we would believe in Jesus. Isn't it exciting as you think about Christmas? God's gift, God's grace, and God's goodness to us in Jesus being born into our world. How do you feel about this? Isn't it wonderful? Praise His name. But before I close and we enjoy some Christmas food, not here, but at your places, of course. And as you open gifts and presents and express your love for your loved ones, there's something I want to highlight, something integral to Christmas. We will be getting some gifts. What do you do with them? Well, it's very polite to receive the gift and then to open the gift and to be thankful. Isn't that right? You all know that. Well, friends, that's exactly what we are all meant to be doing with God's gift to us. We are to receive Jesus. We are to take Him into our life and make Him the Lord and the Saviour of our life. To believe in Jesus is to receive Him. In John chapter 1, 12 and 13, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." Wow, there it is. To receive Jesus is to believe in Him. And we must receive Him. Have you received Jesus? You to receive Jesus into your life as your Saviour, first of all. You need Him to save you from your sins. You ask Him to do that. And you need to receive Him into your life as the Lord of your life. Because that's the condition of forgiveness. We need to take Him as our Lord and Saviour. And the sad thing is, as I look at the world we live in, most haven't done that. God's gift is left under the tree for another season, and another season, and another season. And one of the reasons why we don't receive God's gift is because really, we have no room for Jesus in our life. And that's a really sad thing. Either we don't believe in Him, or we're not interested in Him. And this having no room for Jesus, doesn't that ring a bell when it comes to Christmas? Because in the Christmas story, built into the Christmas story, is the fact that when Jesus was born, there was no room in Bethlehem for Him. That's why He was born in a stable and placed in a manger. It was a picture of how the world would treat Jesus like that. And when He grew up and began to minister, Jesus found no room amongst the Israelite people, the Jewish people. He was pushed out, and then they crucified Him. How sad it is. And I live in a world like you do, where there still is no room for Jesus. But we need Him. We need to make all the room we can in our life for Him. For without Him, we will not go to heaven. Without Him, we will not be saved. Without Him, we will not have eternal life. Without Him, we will perish. As John 3:16 declares, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him or receives Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." What a gift, what grace, what goodness comes to us if we would open our heart to Jesus. I urge you to receive the great gift that God has given to you. Open your heart to Him. Make sure there's room for Jesus in your life. Let's pray. Now, Father, as I just still myself now, I want to just say thank you, and even these words just are not enough. Thank you so much for this extraordinary gift, the gift of your Son. None of us would ever give our child for someone else, but you gave your Son for us. It's not that we were pleased in you either, Lord. We had rebelled against you. What a gift. And what grace that you should send Jesus into our world, not to sort us out, not just to give us teaching, but to save us from our sins. Thank you for the goodness that pours into our life when we believe in Jesus. Thank you for that peace and hope and joy that we speak about so much about Christmas time, but it's a reality for those who believe in your Son. What blessings they are. More than money could ever buy, more than we could ever desire. This is the most important thing. Thank you, Father, for this great goodness from you coming into our heart through Jesus. And I pray for us all now. You know every heart here, including mine. We ask that you would help us to respond to your love, that we would receive Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, that you would help us, if we are already your children, that we would respond by giving our life to you afresh. And Lord, if we haven't got there yet, that you would help us to do that today. Help us to believe in Jesus and be blessed with the greatest gift of all, your Son, and eternal life as well. Thank you so much, Father, for this day. And thank you that you did send Jesus, because, Lord, if it was us, none of us would have done that. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and for your love toward us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.